This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. As we approach the end of a tumultuous year, NHPR is checking in with some of the people we spoke to early on in the pandemic to see how things have changed. It's part of a series we're calling Hindsight. Earlier this year, we reported on Trevor Duval, a high school civics teacher at Hollis Brookline High School, and how he was worried he'd bring the coronavirus home to his wife, who has kidney disease and is fighting cancer. I spoke with him again recently about how this year has gone for him. Trevor, when you spoke to NHPR earlier this year, you were concerned about bringing COVID-19 home to your wife, who has kidney disease and is fighting cancer. Give us an update, if you could. How are you and your wife doing now?
Well, fortunately, neither of us have gotten sick with COVID, which is a plus, obviously. She was hospitalized in early October. She developed a pulmonary embolism. So we've now adding lung issues to her list of pre-existing conditions that could be impacted by COVID. But I would say probably just before she was hospitalized, she got to the point where she got tired of living in the COVID coma and being afraid of going outside. When she went to the grocery store one day, and she's good about that, you know, off-peak hours, things like that. It was an indicator of how long it had been since she's been out when she's asked, why are the arrows on the floor at the grocery store? The world had changed that much since the last time she went grocery shopping in early March.
Back then, last time you spoke to NHPR, you spelled out your options with respect to work, which is stay in school and bear the risk, go on disability and get reduced pay, which would really hurt you as a one-income family, or you could resign. So tell us, what did you end up doing?
I ended up going back into the classroom, working full time. At my school, families had the option of going remote or being in person. I would say in my classroom, I averaged maybe only two or three kids at the beginning of the year who were opting to be remote. And as the year progressed, I actually did have one who came back into the classroom because he realized remote learning was just really hard. But over the last several weeks, more and more kids are going remote. I was given certain options. My district was able to procure a certain amount of plexiglass. So I did have some plexiglass against around my desk. And I really had to change my teaching techniques. I'm a pacer, I'm a walker. I never sit still when I teach. I'm always walking around and observing.
So you had to learn how to sit still?
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I'm having the ability to teach from like in front of the room within like a 3-foot box. That was just one of those little things that was life in COVID is always about the little things that are different, and all these little things start to add up and they just add to our stresses.
Do you feel like the state or your local district or both, have they responded appropriately to the needs of teachers like you?
I'm actually a civics and AP government teacher. So one of the things I'm always telling my students is to look at the other side of the equation. I'm always playing devil's advocate. Well, you think A, so what does B say? And so I really see both sides of the equation on this. I would have loved to have had the option of being fully remote early in the school year, but there's just only so many subs. There's only so much, you know, funding available for things. And I had plenty of colleagues who were in high risk groups. And they really needed to be home for their own personal safety, not just the safety of their families. So obviously they have to be the top priority. I do appreciate what Governor Sununu was doing to a degree when he said, look, you know, the needs of Manchester, New Hampshire is not the same as the needs of little towns like Unity, New Hampshire. And so to have a one-size-fits-all approach isn't necessarily the best. But when you downshift the responsibility to the state levels, sometimes you have to wonder what is the motivation behind the people at the local level, whether it's local elected leaders or school board or principals. What is their true motivation? Is it to get kids into the classroom so they can have a normal, successful year? Is it motivations? We need kids in the school so parents could be working. I don't know. And the decisions that the administration and the school board, everybody had to make, I mean, that's a tough call.
With the options that you've faced personally and professionally, I imagine even some dedicated teachers, like really dedicated teachers, might say, you know what, enough is enough. I need to find a new line of work. Is that something that has crossed your mind?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say it has crossed my mind. I love my profession. I love what I do. I love where I work, and I've got great staff and students and parents, and it's a joy to be able to do what I do. But I also have to be a pragmatist. You know, do I need to think of other options? I don't see myself doing it, but sometimes you got to keep options open. And I do know that there are teachers in my building who I have seen in tears and who have broken down this year, and they don't know how they're going to finish the year. Websites crashing, Zoom's freezing, the internet is overloaded. This is just a very frustrating time for a lot of people.
Well, Trevor, I appreciate you taking some time to share your thoughts with me, and I hope you and your wife stay well throughout this pandemic.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Really appreciate that. And same to you and yours.